WMAP, the world's most amazing people.
Host Casey Armstrong has a really good heart, and I think he actually really cares what the people have to say, and I think that the idea has been great. And
hey guys, it's Brendan here with WMAP, and I'm being joined with a special guest, Al Levy, who authored the book The Seven Power Contractor. Hey, Mr. Levy, are you there?
I'm here. I'm ready to go.
So do you want to tell us about the book, The Seven Power Contractor?
Yeah, I think just a little bit of background is I came out of a contracting family business. I was third generation in the plumbing, heating, cooling business on Long Island. And, every day was a different fire drill for us. We were making a lot of money, but we didn't have any systematic approach to anything. So we finally created the systems, in particular the operating manuals that detailed how we do our work. And the time came that I was able to transition out and free myself up and leave the business. And what I've been doing for the last 15 years is working with all different types of contractors all around the country and also Canada. And I bring these systems to them. So that what I took was what I was teaching and put it down into a book called The Seven Power Contractor. And it's basically the seven principles it takes to run a contracting business. The reality, Brandon, is it's pretty much what it takes to run any business. There's seven things you have to master.
It sounds very insightful. I just want to put out your website quick. It's the number 7powercontractor.com. Now, do you want to enlighten us with those seven powers?
Sure. Yeah, the first thing is planning power. It's the classic, if you don't care where you end up, any road will do. But if you care, you need to pick carefully. So planning power is lining up about, what are you working on and how are you working on and when. So it's what I call the three rights, working on the right thing at the right time, the right way. And the way you arrive at that is you have a master project list. Now, think of it as a funnel. At the top of the funnel, big and broad, is all these master projects. And then you funnel it down to what solves your biggest challenge or problem or your greatest chance to grow and be profitable. And that's how you arrive at the next list, which is the top 30. So you take whatever the big list is, get it down to 30. And your goal would be, Brandon, if you and I were talking a year from now, how many of those 30 did you knock out? Because you said those top 30 things will fix that. That said, nobody can really work on 30 things. So the next way down is to get that same two filters, think of it as strainers, solve biggest problem or challenge, biggest chance to grow and be profitable, arrive at your top five. And those five things, no matter how crazy your week is, you need to work on that. And that's what makes the difference. So that's planning power in a nutshell. Operating power is the documentation of the policies and procedures that it takes to run your company, not 100% of the time, but 80%, the majority of what you do. So you're not running your company by talking, memos, things like that are totally ineffective. That you have an approach that's common for the work you do. Staffing is really three things, is making your existing people fill in their holes, the areas that they have challenges. The new people who tell you they can do everything, find out faster and fix it. But ultimately, the real freedom is taking young, willing people and providing them the skills. So that's what operating power leading into staffing power is. And sales is about, knowing the right price for what you charge, being able to communicate in good fashion with a customer so they understand the value of what it is, and making good suggestions that are in the customer's best interest, which end up in good sales. Sales coaching is rewarding those for doing the right behaviors. Marketing is the right amount of calls from the right customers at the right time. And then last thing is financial. You could do all of the other things and then not charge enough for what you do, or not do budgeting and not understand what you need to do to be in business. And that's not going to work out.
Yeah, that definitely is very insightful knowledge. Now, I know that you're primarily in contracting, but have you always known you'd be like a business professional?
It's funny. I was my dad had us when we were very young teenagers. He was doing meetings, and we were serial entrepreneurs. We owned a chain of liquor stores. We owned ice cream shop. We owned a radiant heat manufacturing company, a computer software company, and multi-state real estate. And my dad was a firm believer that more businesses are alike than unlike. And so that was really what kind of catapulted it. So I had a sense of it. And once I took control of it, I knew that would be the case. So, yeah, I do work with plumbing, heating, cooling, electrical, roofing, you know, jobs that I never even did. They're all kind of the same. I even worked with a condo builder in Canada, and I never built a condo in my life, certainly not downtown in the middle of the city. But there's so many things, Brandon, that are exactly the same, that you need to, the things I rattled off very quickly that you need to master and create a systematic approach for each and every one of them.
Yeah, definitely. How long would you say it takes the typical business owner, in your experience, to master these principles?
Well, master is a good word. You know, I've worked with some great, great contractors through the year, and nobody is a 10 out of 10 in all seven of the categories, with 10 being phenomenal and zero being awful or nothing. The trick is you can't be a zero in any of them for very long without having an issue. So the first goal is just to get, you know, good, or to handle, address your weaknesses. The people that I've worked with one-to-one usually are already beginning to find a change within a couple of months. And over the course of, you know, a year, 2 years, or 3 years, depending on how much they need, they've made some real monster changes to their company. Some people, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a consultant like what I do. There are, you know, plenty of knowledge out there on the internet. The problem with the internet is it's phenomenal knowledge, but how do you know whether you're speaking to a genius or an idiot? And you can't really know. And so you do need to apply some filters to what you do. The other drawback to this, where you don't have a mentor, is not everything fits together. So you kind of pull a piece from here and a piece from there, Brandon, and all of a sudden you end up building a Frankenstein, not what you were after. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. What would you say is your favorite part of your job?
You know, my favorite part of my job is, like myself, because I recognize these guys. I was lucky. I was making money, but it was killing me years ago. And I knew that I would be a really rich, dead guy, not my goal. So until I put these systems in place, I didn't really have the feeling of success, but also less stress. And as I watch the people that I work with, their stress, you know, fall away, that's really satisfying to me.
Now, I just want to put out your website again, the7powercontractor.com. And I also want to ask, on the other hand, what's the most challenging part of your job?
The most challenging part of the job is the owner. And again, they have my empathy because I was one, but there's an addiction that we have as owners. You know, what made us great, what put us to the head of the pack, is we're the right guy for everything, or girl. And that's great as you're growing your company, but it pretty soon it stifles everybody at your company, and you can only grow so big as to what you can do. So learning how to give that up, that identity, and, you know, documenting these things and using the system to allow yourself to grow is the biggest challenge, because owners have a built-in resistance to that.
Yeah, and I also want to ask about, you have a feature on your website to build your operating manuals program.
Mm-hmm. That is the jumpstart. I spent $100,000 back in 1996 to create our manuals at our company, which we paid off in 2 years, with a decrease in callbacks and people getting hurt and more sales and a whole bunch of other good things and ability to bring on people. And today that's about $150,000. So this program for plumbing, heating, cooling, electrical companies, they can come and work with me. They have their templates instead of trying to create it from scratch, come to a workshop and have them get these manuals in their company, just kind of like what I used to do one-to-one.
Definitely great resources. Again, guys, the7powercontractor.com. And in our last question here, I want to ask, if you could leave our listeners with one thing, what would you want them to take from this interview?
I think unload what's in your head onto paper. And if you're a digital person, by all means, just put it right into the computer, the laptop or a tablet, whatever you have. But you have to get what you do out of your head and into a documented system where nobody can help you in the way that you need to have help.
Definitely great advice. We want to thank you so much for joining us here today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
And we hope to hear more from you soon.
Thanks.
Hey guys, I'm Casey Armstrong. This is WMAP, the world's most amazing people.
Host Casey Armstrong has a really good heart, and I think he actually really cares what the people have.